WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Tuesday, December 8th, 2015, we have a jam-packed show in store for you all out there. We will chat about the Michigan State men's basketball team being ranked numero uno in the nation. So get this, you have a number three college football team and a number one college men's basketball team. Are you kidding me? It's a good time to be a Spartan. We'll chat about that. Also, Mark D'Antonio has been named as a finalist for the College Football Coach of the Year Award. Yeah, well-deserving if you ask me. We'll dive into that as well. You'll also get to hear from John Madden, who is the MSU lead band director. I got a chance to chat with John while I was out in Indy, and we will highlight how the Spartan band gets the Spartan fan base turned up for a time like this. You don't want to miss that. We will also chat with Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, as he gives his thoughts on the start of high school boys basketball. Boy, can you feel hoops in the air? Oh, I love it. One of my favorite times of the year, folks. All of that, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to be a part of the show, just dial 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this December 8th. The 9-0 MSU men's basketball team is atop the poll for the first time since early in the 2013-14 season. Michigan State, they jumped from third to a runaway first following losses last week by then number one and two Kentucky and Maryland. The Spartans received 62 first place votes from the 65-member national media panel. Now, Kansas and North Carolina, they round out your top three. How cool is that? Now, and, you know, this Saturday is also going to be a big night for the MSU men's basketball team, seeing as though the 2000 MSU men's basketball team that won the national championship will be honored on Saturday as the Spartans host Florida at home for a 6 p.m. tip time. MSU, they beat Florida 89-76 for the 2000 national title in Indianapolis to wrap up Izzo's fifth season as head coach. Before that game takes place, MSU will look to improve to 10-0 on Wednesday at the Brez against 1-6 Maryland Eastern Shore. That game will tip off at 7 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. The 2000-2001 Spartans hold the school record for best start at 12-0. Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio is one of eight finalists for the Eddie Robinson National Coach of the Year Award. The Football Writers Association of America announced that yesterday. Now, also yesterday, MSU senior center Jack Allen, he was named one of three finalists for the Remington Award, given to the nation's top center. The other finalists are the center MSU just saw, Iowa's Austin Bythel. Also, the center MSU will see next, Ryan Kelly of Alabama. How ironic is that, right? All right, athletic director Mark Hollis and legendary MSU running back Clinton Jones, also a friend of the show, both of those individuals, will be honored at the National Football Foundation Award Ceremony at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. Jones, a star for MSU's 1965-66 National Championship teams, is being officially inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Hollis will receive the NFF John L. Toner Award, which goes annually to an athletic director, quote, who has demonstrated superior administrative abilities and shown outstanding dedication to college athletics and particularly college football, according to the NFF. The Heisman Trophy Award finalists were announced last night via ESPN SportsCenter. Alabama's Derrick Henry and Stanford's Christian McCaffrey are hoping to return the Heisman Trophy to the running back position. Clemson's Deshaun Watson can keep it with the QBs if he comes out with the dub. Among those missing out on a ticket to New York City are Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield, LSU running back Leonard Fournette, sorry, Isaac, who was the early season favorite, and Navy quarterback Keenan Reynolds. High school boys basketball starts tonight. Can you feel hoops in the air, folks? And if you'd like to say hello tonight to me, I will be doing play-by-play with Eric Doc Love on the team, 92.1 FM, as we broadcast the DeWitt at East Lansing game. And we'll have coverage from that game right here on WKAR's Current Sports during tomorrow's broadcast. Cody Zeller scored 20 points, and the Charlotte Hornets snapped the Pistons' four-game winning streak with a 104-84 victory on Monday night. Marvin Williams added 14 points and 12 rebounds, and Kemba Walker had 14 points and 9 rebounds for Charlotte, which has won 7 of 9. The Pistons sit at 12-10. They were led by Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 16, and Ersan Ilyasova's 15 points and 11 rebounds. And Nike has signed Cleveland Cavaliers forward LeBron James to, get this, a lifetime deal. Wow. And what one source familiar with the negotiation said is the largest single athlete guarantee in company history. A company spokesperson would not say how much Nike paid. It is believed to be the first lifetime deal in the shoe and apparel company's 44-year history. And last but certainly not least, the Detroit Red Wings, they hit the road tonight to take on the Washington Capitals, hoping to extend their win streak to four games after winning three straight at Joe Louis Arena. Puck drop is set for 7:30 p.m. The Wings currently sit in fifth place of the Eastern Conference. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in and be a part of the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Like us there, leave us a comment. I'll read it live here on our airwaves. Or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at my Twitter handle at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
So hard to chew. My loved. My loved.
You know, I got a little text from Day Day last night saying, hey, if you do, make sure you step on the guys, because one other time it wasn't as good. You know, as I said about this culture around here, where if a football or basketball team is ranked real high, you know, we've been through enough where we don't look at that as it's the first time in the history of the world, you know. And but, you know, I'm proud of what we've done. We've earned what we've gotten. You know, whatever we're ranked, we've earned it because we've played a tough enough schedule with enough travel, with enough adversity. Do I think we're the best team in the country right now? No, I don't. Do I think there's anybody head and shoulders better than us right now? No, I don't. I think right now there's a lot of teams in the same. What I hope my team does is appreciate the work that went into getting where we are and taking that and building on it. And you know, the old adage about a coach is that he's never satisfied. You know, great players are never satisfied.
So hard to chew. My loved.
You know, I think that was very well said by MSU head coach Tom Izzo of the MSU men's basketball team. You know, if you want to be great at anything you do, and I've voiced this before here on the show, you have to never be satisfied. No matter how much success comes your way, no matter how many times you reach that mountaintop, what separates good from great is never being satisfied and always pushing your respective self, team, or program to expect more out of what you've already done. And that's something that has certainly reigned true for Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team. Again, they are ranked number one in the nation in both the Associated Press poll top 25 in the USA Today coaches poll, as both polls were released on Monday afternoon, the Spartans received 62 of 65 first place votes in the AP Top 25, ranking ahead of number two Kansas, a squad MSU defeated in the Champions Classic in November. And in the coaches poll, MSU collected 26 of 31 first place votes, ranking ahead of number two Iowa State. So you look at what is happening here in mid-Michigan, folks, right here in the area of Lansing. The Michigan State men's basketball team ranked number one. The football team booking a ticket to the college football playoff this past weekend. And, of course, they will take on Alabama on New Year's Eve, December 31st, with the chance to compete for a national championship, a number three ranked college football team. Unbelievable. This, hands down, is the most coveted era of Michigan State sports, hands down, period. When you look at the top two money-producing sports here on campus, on the campus of Michigan State, when it comes to men's college basketball and college football, and Michigan State being ranked in the top four of both, I mean, that's truly special. Truly special. And I tell you what, Spartan fans, I don't know when will be the next time we see something like this. Embrace this week, folks. Please do. Embrace this month. Because we don't know what's going to happen from here. We don't know if Michigan State, if the football team is going to lose to Alabama on New Year's Eve, and that'll be the end of one incredible run, one incredible reaching higher season. We don't know what's going to happen with the MSU men's basketball team as the year goes on. But right here, right now at 1:12 p.m. on December 8th, 2015, if you are a Spartan fan, you have absolutely nothing to complain about. And it speaks diffidence to, you know, really the masterminds behind all of this. You know, I just mentioned in our quick hit headliners, athletic director Mark Hollis, who is such a big thinker. We've had Mark on our airwaves multiple times, and, you know, he's voiced how, you know, he just wants to try new and different and innovative things because, frankly, people are becoming bored with the old. So Mark Hollis, I mean, you can bring up things like the Carrier Classic. You can bring up things like putting a basketball court in a football stadium. Okay, that was one of his ideas as well. Putting a hockey rink in a football stadium. I mean, these are new, different and innovative ideas that Mark Hollis has been at the forefront in charging to athletics. I mean, when you do things like that, it stems beyond just a little box of college athletics. This goes into every area of sports. And Mark Hollis is just, he's just been a brainchild. And that has certainly paid dividends to the MSU brand and beyond. Then you look at Luana K. Simon, the president here at Michigan State, who has given, you know, the MSU athletic realm the freedom to do those things. Then, of course, the two head coaches, Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio. There are no better tandem in the world of college athletics than those two when you discuss college basketball and college football. What those two have produced here is really remarkable. And the question that comes from this now, because we all know the society that we live in today, especially when it comes to today's youth, it's always instant gratification. It's always a what have you done for me lately type of attitude. The big question for me is how long this will last. And that's the question you instantly get from fans who have already become complacent with this success. And yes, hear me out here. There are some out there that are going to become complacent with this kind of success, even though it has been unprecedented in Michigan State athletic history, even though it has never happened before to this extent. There are some that are going to become spoiled out there. There are some Spartan fans that are going to say, okay, this is all fine and dandy, but what about that national championship? Can we win that entire enchilada? And if MSU football comes short, you're going to have people criticizing. If MSU basketball comes short, you're going to have people criticizing. But I already think just right now that this team, this era of Spartan athletics has already surpassed any expectation that any of us could have fathomed. And you look at the reason why this MSU men's basketball team has been able to be such a force within its realm for so long, and you have to directly point to Tom Izzo. He is a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. He has done a remarkable job at developing talent. That's the big thing when I talk about it. If you're going to succeed at this level, when it comes to any college sport, you have to be able to not only recruit, not only do that, but once you bring in whatever talent you get, you have to be able to develop that talent. And you have to be able to make sure that whatever talent you accrue, that they buy into a certain system. And that's exactly what Tom Izzo has done for quite some time now. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I do see we already have a caller, Jack from Haslett. Hang on, Jack. I want to invite right now, before we get to our caller, the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my man?
Doing well, Al. Like you said, great time to be in East Lansing. I'm not sure if there's been another time like it. And when I look at this new MSU or college basketball poll, what stands out to me the most is the number two spot in it, because that goes to a team that MSU beat in Kansas. It just shows the benefits of playing tough teams early, because if you can come out on top, it shows so much about your program. This is a great Kansas Jayhawks team that MSU beat. That was a great Louisville team that MSU beat. And you know what? Now, since both of these teams tested themselves early, they're for real. I mean, it's going to come down to MSU in the playoff. Yes, they'll play a lot of teams which are the best in the nation. But at the same time, they've already played Ohio State. They've already played Iowa. They've already played Oregon. They've played some of the best. For MSU basketball, there are no surprises forthcoming for this team. Since they tested themselves earlier, they know what to expect. They've already been battle-tested, and they've got the talent and the they've already overcome the adversity to be able to continue doing that.
And I will say this. It is early, and the thing that they're battling against now is, one, complacency. They can't take any nights off. And the other thing is just making sure that on the defensive end, they're up to par, because we have seen holes at time defensively. And Tom Izzo, I mean, the mindset that Tom Izzo has, again, I mentioned that never satisfied attitude. Tom Izzo is still never satisfied. The number one rankings at this point in the season, to be real with you, it means absolutely
they
nothing.
They are meaningless.
It does hold some sort of weight, because it shows you, you know, where your brand is and what your national perception is, what people think of you on a national scheme as far as your talent-wise and where you are, especially, and the record has a lot to do with that as well. But at the end of the day, Tom Izzo is the type of guy who doesn't put too much harp in it. He likes it because it makes the school look good, and it puts a spotlight on the school and puts Michigan State in the light that he wants it to be in. When you bring up national powerhouses like a Duke, like a Kentucky, like a Kansas, like a North Carolina, but at the same time, he knows this team has a lot of work to do.
Yeah, they certainly do. But at the same time, you couldn't have asked for any more thus far in the season. Michigan State has done everything you could have asked, no matter whether that's playing a tough schedule or being impressive against opponents like Binghamton and other teams that you thought might give them even a little bit of a run during the first half, something they might have to suppress and survive, just because those other teams would be excited. They'd be thrilled at the prospect of playing at some place like the Breslin. No problem whatsoever for this Barnes. They couldn't do anything more so far. And like I said, the committee, or I'm so used to the college football side of this, but the rankings voters obviously respect the fact that Michigan State's played some tough opponents, and they respect the other opponents for that too. So it goes to show, in my opinion, you set yourself up for a hard schedule, you reap the rewards, even if you don't win sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you. Again, folks, your phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Jack from Haslett on. Jack, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
No, Jack. Looks like Jack actually logged off on us.
Jack, you logged off. We'll call back in, Jack. We'll definitely take your call as soon as you call in, my man. But, yeah, I mean, looking at, again, this era is the best we've seen. And, again, I wanted to start the show with that bite from Tom Izzo, because it sort of you know, capitalizes the mindset that he has. He talked about how Draymond Green, when the rankings came out, Draymond sent him a text and said, hey, you know, we know what happened last time when we were ranked number one. Of course, the last time that occurred, this is just the fourth time in school history, and the third time under Coach Tom Izzo, and the eighth week overall that MSU has held the top spot in the AP Top 25. And as I stated in our headliners, the last time this occurred, was like early 2013-14. That's the last time it occurred, and they didn't have it for long. So, he wants to make sure that MSU holds on to that record. And, it's funny, every time I see Draymond Green, and we all know about the success that he's had with the Golden State Warriors, he's an NBA champion now. They are on an unprecedented streak to start the year at, I believe, it's like 21 now for the Golden State Warriors?
I think it might be even 22.
22 now. It's unbelievable. We all know what he's done with that team and Steph Curry and those guys. And Draymond is constantly putting on for Michigan State. Anytime I see him do an interview, anytime he's on SportsCenter or any interview, for any national interview for that matter, he's always bringing up the, Spartan Athletics, whether it be the football team, of course, the basketball team. He even brought up, tennis, hockey, and some other sports the last time he was on with SVP, so he's always putting on. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Devin from Detroit on. Devin, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Al? It's actually Stevon Mosley,
purse. Stevon, what is going on? That is my frat brother. Yes, Stevon, how you doing, brother?
Good, sir. I'm doing great. Just sitting there listening to your great show. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Proud of the Spartans, man. That's all I wanted to share. We just got to pray for the Lions.
I don't think prayer can even help the Lions right now, Stephon. That's just a bad situation, man. I think with the loss this past Sunday, that was on Thursday against the Packers, I think,
right.
and the way they lost to Hail Mary from Aaron Rodgers to Rodgers, I think the Lions may be kaput for the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great time to be a Spartan, my man. I mean, again, as I stated, I mean, this there's been no era like this when evaluating what the men's basketball team is doing as well as the MSU football team.
Right.
I agree.
I used to get talked about being a Spartan fan. Now we running the state. So.
There you go.
Right.
There you go. Stevon, always good hearing from you, bro. We got to catch up, man.
Yes, sir. Proud of you, man. Keep up the great work. Peace.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's talk about – we talked about the MSU men's basketball team. Let's briefly talk about what Coach D'Antonio has done with the football team. Of course, Coach D'Antonio, as I stated, he has been named as one of eight finalists for the Eddie Robinson National Coach of the Year Award. The Football Writers Association of America announced that news yesterday. And also yesterday, MSU senior center Jack Allen was named one of three finalists for the Remington Award, which is given to the nation's top center. You know, it's really remarkable when looking at D'Antonio's tenure as the MSU football coach, because it's been one that D'Antonio has steadily chipped at, nipped at, and worked at to make sure that Michigan State is among, is in the conversation, I should say, when it comes to a national title contender. Because I really had the feeling, even before I became a Spartan here at Michigan State, I came here in 2008, graduated in 2012, and at least for, when looking at kids who were my age coming to state as freshmen, we really knew Spartan Athletics more so for the basketball team than the football team. Again, they had won the national championship in 2000. I always tell the story. I was sitting there with my socks off, watching that moment. That game, that one shining moment, I should say, with my grandfather and Michigan State hoisting up the trophy. And again, the history that Izzo has had with this squad, Michigan State's men's basketball team was at a much healthier standpoint than the football team. But then in comes Coach D'Antonio. He comes in and he certainly has changed the culture to now Michigan State. You can't say either way whether this is a basketball school or a football school. This is just a good sports institution right now, Isaac.
And it's been nothing like this caliber for both programs since Florida in 2005, 2006. When,
right.
Of course, they had, I believe, Chris Leak playing quarterback and then Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer holding it down in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
This is the closest that we've seen. And that's saying so much about how far both of these programs have come, especially football when looking at it in a more recent scope. But like you said, Mark D'Antonio transforming this program immediately into a winning team and then just accelerating the pace from there. He's brought this team up to the speed with programs that have the richest tradition in the United States. We're talking about Ohio State, Michigan, the biggest rival, the big game for every, you know, last Saturday of football week in college football. So he has brought this team up to those standards and done so. And, you know, in my opinion, MSU is at the ledge almost of surpassing Ohio State for that Michigan rival at this point, just because of the way that rivalry has swung recently. So I think it's just such, says so much about this program. It's well-deserved that they're in the playoff, but Mark D'Antonio, I'm not sure if he'll win that coaching award this year.
Well, looking at the finalists for the award, you can make a really tough argument for Mark D'Antonio. He's going against Iowa's Kirk Ferentz, Houston's Tom Herman, Notre Dame's Brian Kelly, Temple's Matt Rhule, Stanford's David Shaw, Oklahoma's Bob Stoops, and Clemson's Dabo Sweeney. Yeah. So I think that at the end of the day, I think Coach D'Antonio has a good shot at this. Because
I think he's got a chance.
Oh, without a doubt, because when you look at that list, I mean, you have Oklahoma's Bob Stoops. You have Clemson's Dabo Sweeney. Other than those two, you have three coaches who are currently in the college football playoff in the running for that award. I really think that D'Antonio, you can make a strong case for him, because there are a lot of individuals out there, from a national media perspective, that didn't think that D'Antonio would be here. This is the first time Michigan State has cracked the top four since being ranked number two very early in the college football season. But they knock off Iowa's Kirk Ferentz, and now they're here. I think it's just been so improbable for them to end up here and overcome the adversity that they've had to overcome and to win in the fashion that they've won, that you can make a strong case for D'Antonio to win this award over any other coach. Will he win it? Who knows? At the end of the day, everyone has their own train of thought, their own mind. So when it comes to awards, I mean, I don't put too much stock in it overall, because, I mean, hey, at the end of the day, awards are voted on by individuals who all have an opinion. And we all know that it's hard-pressed to find a coveted opinion across the board that everyone agrees with. You can make a case for each and every one of these coaches, and that's why if it didn't go to D'Antonio, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I don't think it will, simply because I think Dabo Sweeney's done such a good job at Clemson, turning that into, and it pains me, like I can't even describe to say this, but he's turned that place into the real Death Valley. I mean, Tiger Stadium, that's why I always consider it, is it? But Clemson is looking so formidable in recent years, not just this year. A couple of years ago, they almost knocked off Florida State during their miraculous season with Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And Clemson really is a team to fear at the moment.
So I think they're the best team in college football right now. I think they're hands down. I mean, looking at, because I went on the air and stated that, hey, you know, that Clemson and Notre Dame game was going to be a game to watch, because I really thought that Notre Dame had a good shot at knocking off Clemson. And what does Clemson do? They handle business and they win. Point blank, period. I think Clemson is playing the best college football right now, and I think they are, you know, the clear favorite to win this whole thing, this national championship at the end of the day.
Well, and they've got 10 win seasons ever since 2011. Right. Dabo Sweeney only took over in 2008.
Right.
And in 2010, they went 6-7. Ever since, 10 wins every single season. That's saying something about a program. So I'd expect him to take home the trophy and the accolades and all the praise, but D'Antonio, friends, anybody who's even named on this list, it shows the impact they've had on the program, because look how far Kirk Ferentz has, you know, led this Iowa program
right
into national relevancy. They're going to the Rose Bowl.
And well deserving. And again, I'm glad that the committee for the Rose Bowl did not jump Ohio State over Iowa and put Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. Iowa was very well deserving. Iowa could have very easily won that game against Michigan State. It could have went the other way. They had momentum totally on their side when looking at that Beathard throw to Tavon Smith. But the college football community did a great job of making sure they gave Iowa their just due. And also, you got to give credit to what's, you know, when looking at D'Antonio's tenure, he has just had an incredible staff around him as well. We all know about Narduzzi and what he was able to do with that defense during his tenure here before he took off to Pittsburgh. But Harlan Barnett, the assistant head coach, co-defensive coordinator, of course, Jim Bowman, co-offensive coordinator, Mike Tressel, co-defensive coordinator, Dave Warner, co-offensive coordinator, Ron Burden, Brad Salem, Mark Snyder. I mean, I could go on and on. Mark Staten. I could go on and on and on about the incredible staff that D'Antonio has put around him based solely on loyalty and getting the job done and providing no excuses as to why it didn't get done if it does. So, hey, unbelievable job by Coach D. I'm really rooting for him in that and for that award. Folks, call in 517-355-9527. Before we hit the first break, let's talk to our good friend Ray from Indiana. He is online, too. Ray, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm going to tell you, your coach, I love what he says after games. He knows he could have easily got beat by Iowa, and he stays humble. He said, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I think God's on our side. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very clutch. You know, God's on all of our sides. He really is. But he wants you to stay humble too, and you got a humble coach, sir.
And you know what, Mark D'Antonio, that was a big topic of discussion, and there were a lot of people debating whether or not Coach D should have said that. I'm glad that he did. He's a man of faith,
too.
And it's faith as you know, faith is the reason that Coach D'Antonio is Coach D'Antonio. He's voiced that. I talked about the feature that I saw done by WILX. I think it was Ann Emmerich. She did a great job of profiling Coach D'Antonio and his wife and how faith has been the foundation of their success and their ride, their incredible ride here at Michigan State. And I'm really glad that Mark D'Antonio is not shy in letting that be known because it's who he is. He can't hide who he is. And I think that was a great quote from him.
Hey, the people that are mad about this are people that don't even aren't on God's side a lot of times. You know, they just don't. I once was blind, but now I see. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
There's a lot of people out there that don't believe there's a God, but I know there is because I've seen a lot in my life what he did for me, Jesus dying on the cross. And I'm going to tell you, also, it was a happy day to watch the lion-cheating Patriots and Tom Brady go down again, too.
Two straight losses for him, right? Yeah, I mean, two straight losses for Tom Brady and the Patriots. That was very shocking how the Eagles were able to pull out that win this past Sunday.
Did it? I mean, they had a punt all the way back, an interception 100 yards from Brady. You don't usually ever see those kind of things.
No, you don't. And then you saw, did you see you know, it's been a meme all over social media. Did you see Tom Brady try to tackle the returner? I forget who returned the football, but
yeah.
it was just like, okay, let me just fall on the ground and act like I'm trying to do something here. It was hilarious. But yeah, 35-28, you know, loss for the Patriots, and now they've lost, you know, to the Broncos on November 29th and now against the Eagles this past Sunday. And, you know, looking at who's the powerhouse of the league right now, the Carolina Panthers and what they are doing, I mean, man, I really think the Panthers could go and really challenge that 16-0 record.
Well,
I really do believe that.
Have a lot of injuries. I got to give them that for that. You know, I knew it was going to catch up with them sooner or later, but, you know, it really doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. I remember one year the Cardinals were supposed to be the worst team in playoff history, and Kurt Warner took them within 20 seconds of winning the Super Bowl. I mean, you just never know. A team can get hot, you know. It's really who gets hot at the end of the year. Just like that Super Bowl last year, Seattle practically gives the Super Bowl away, you know, with that lame rain call. But, you know, all it takes is one call, too, you know. Just like your team, you won that game, and the next game is going to be the same way. They're going to be tight. It comes down to one or two plays, and you hope your team's the one that makes it, you know.
Right. That's true. Ray, my man, thanks a lot for the
God
call.
God bless you, buddy.
All right, take care. All right, again, folks, if you want to call in, just like our good friend and listener Ray just did, and, of course, we had Stevon call in as well, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We love to hear from our listeners, folks. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will bring you a one-on-one chat with the Michigan State band director, John Madden. Don't miss that. And then after that, we will, of course, talk with Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, about the start of high school boys basketball. Oh, boy, that's exciting. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Boy, I tell you what, I do not want to overlook, of course, the start of high school boys basketball here in mid-Michigan, like the entire state for that matter. But I love mid-Michigan high school hoops because there are so many great teams filled with so many, you know, led by so many outstanding coaches. We got to get Steve Finnemore. I usually have Steve on around this time of the year. I'm definitely going to get him on the show tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. Steve Finnemore is the head boys basketball coach of the East Lansing Trojans. It's always a great time talking with Steve. I have never met. Now, I thought I was a big basketball junkie. I mean, I've got NBA League Pass. I'm watching games each and every night. I love college basketball. I played back in high school, well, even dating before high school. I grew up playing basketball. I just love everything about hoops. In my opinion, it's the best sport on the world, in the world, okay, folks? But I'm a pretty big sports, you know, basketball junkie. But Steve Finnemore certainly can challenge me. I mean, that dude, I mean, he's always, I mean, it could be the Super Bowl, and he is still tweeting about, you know, whether or not to foul or defend in the waning moments of a basketball game and playing the right way. He started this hashtag, I think it's playing the right way. So PTRW, that's his new hashtag he's always tweeting about now. He's always watching vintage footage of Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell and engaging with me on social media in discussions of that. I even tell you guys a story. I was actually playing pickup basketball this past summer with a few of my frat brothers, and we're playing at this little park, you know, right off of Abbott Road in East Lansing, Michigan, you know, kind of hidden in the back right off of Abbott Road. And all of a sudden, you know, it's about, I want to say about 5 o'clock. We're about to wrap up play. We're really like messing around playing horse now after about four games of 21. And then who do I see with his headphones in and glasses coming out really the bushes? He came out of nowhere. It was like, you know, he just floated out of nowhere, like floated out the sky or something like that. It's Steve Finnemore with, a T-shirt, some shorts and gym shoes and his basketball and just zoning out on his headphones and just shooting jump shots by himself. And we cracked up about it, man. I'm like, Steve, he didn't realize it was me at first. He was in like this, locked into this zone. But, man, he's just unbelievable. I actually will be broadcasting, though, the very first basketball game for the East Lansing Trojans as Steve and his team will host the DeWitt Panthers tonight at 7 o'clock over at East Lansing High School. I'll be rocking the mic with Eric Doc Love of 92.1 Team. Should be a good time. I just can't believe it's already here. So in just a second, later on, around the 1:45 mark, we'll be chatting with Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, as he will give us a boys basketball preview. But first, I want to go to a chat that I had with John Madden, who is the band director for Michigan State. Now, you know, it was really amazing being down in Indy and witnessing, of course, the incredible moment that was a Big Ten championship for the Spartans, a win that propelled them into, of course, the college football playoff, in which they will take on Alabama on New Year's Eve. But other than the game, you know, just the overall atmosphere down there, the hoopla before that game, there was really no calm before the storm. I mean, it was just really just madness leading all the way up until kickoff. And we got a chance, and when I say we, I mean my producer of Current Sports Television, Tim Elkins, and myself, we got a chance to head out to the Indiana Convention Center, downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. And while there, we got a chance to witness the Michigan State pep rally led by the Michigan State Band. They put on one incredible show. And afterwards, I got to talk with John Madden about the preparation for the MSU Band when concerning a moment of this magnitude. Here is our chat. Guys just wrapped up the pep rally. Of course, the calm before the storm before kickoff tonight against Iowa. I mean, I saw you up there. The energy is certainly live in the room. What's this experience like for you?
You know, you can feel that energy, Al. It's definitely palpable. The Big Ten does a great job kind of creating this tour for the band. Before, we played at an MSU alumni event. This is called Fan Fest, part of the Big Ten's offerings. It's programmatically built. So now we're going to go walk through the convention center and take the long walk to the stadium. And we pick up a box lunch along the way, get some fuel, and then it's on. You know, game time is almost here.
Now, you know what? I looked at my email before I got on the roll here to Indy, and you showed me the itinerary, actually. This started at around like 5 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah, we were up at the hotel early.
Yeah.
Because the two bands, the Iowa band and the Michigan State band, do a combined national anthem performance, which is very cool. You know, this is our third one of these in 5 years. So I was involved on the ground floor when we played Wisconsin that first year, sort of formatting it. When we got on the conference calls, it was like, there's nothing cooler in the Big Ten historically than the great college bands at these schools.
Right.
So don't hire a singer. Don't get Beyonce.
I
love her, but let's put these bands out on the field and celebrate this historically important element that these Big Ten schools have, and it's great marching bands.
Now, you and I were just chatting before the camera started rolling here, John. Now, of course, it's a great event. Of course, Big Ten championship game, a lot of excitement. But for you, when looking at the grind that is organizing this entire thing,
yeah,
be honest with me, how stressful is it as well?
There's a little stress, but I can handle it. I've done it before. But, you know, it's work, and I got to make sure all my students are safe and moving to the right place and set them up, put them in a position to be successful.
Right.
I'll worry about, you know, I'll watch the game when I get home. I'll look at it on the DVR because, you know, I'm kind of doing all my stuff, running the band and all that. I'll keep track of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to get home and go, all right, we have successfully done this again.
Right.
So, you know, I'm on the clock, but it's a real joy.
What's the best part of this for you?
Watching the students be in another epic atmosphere. We're living in an amazing Michigan State time right now. They're all great as far as I'm concerned, but watching my students and the look on their eyes,
right.
You know, seeing Connor Cook throw the long one and, you know, Burbridge catches it and there are the kids and the band at the heart of this event. So it's really a joy.
One last question, sure. John. Many people are calling this era, of course, when looking at where the men's basketball team is right now. I mean, they won against Binghamton today,
yeah,
which means they probably will be number one in the nation.
You bet.
If Michigan State wins tonight, they for sure will be in the college football,
sure,
playoff. Is this the best era of Michigan State sports you've ever been a part of?
Oh, for sure. And this is year 27 for me. You know, I remember that 99 season when Nick took the team to, what, 10-1 and beat Florida. And, you know, we were kind of amping it up. And then we restarted, and here we are again. I think we're where we belong and where we should be. I think all Spartans want this to be the way it is. So, and it's never an accident. It always has to do with who's at the top, and that's Mark D'Antonio. This is not a mistake, not an accident. We're living this because of him. And we have all the tools to continue to make it happen for him and for all of us. We all live larger and better because we're living in this great Spartan athletics era. It's just wonderful for everybody.
Yes, I want to give a special thanks to John Madden, again, the MSU band director. Thanks, John, for giving his time during the pep rally down at the Indianapolis Convention Center. It was a great time chatting with John. And again, I tell you what, the Spartan fan base, they really came out for that. It was packed. People were aligned. They had like an open turf field, and everyone was lined around the field to check out the MSU band's performance. They got them riled up with the fight song, and the drum line had one incredible performance. I mean, it was a pretty cool atmosphere down there just, again, hours before kickoff between Michigan State and Iowa. All right, folks, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will be chatting with Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. He'll get you locked and loaded for another year of high school boys basketball. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are listening to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, I'm pretty excited, folks. Again, not just because of the MSU, you know, craziness that's going on when it comes to the MSU men's basketball team and football team, but because tonight is the start of high school boys basketball action. You know, I always have flashbacks around this time of the year, Isaac, because you and I both played back at our respective high schools. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan on the west side. I went to high school at Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, where I played basketball all 4 years. I was a three-year varsity letter wearer, and of course, I was a captain for 3 years as well. Had a pretty good career, but I always have flashbacks anytime I'm on the sideline filming or broadcasting a game, because I feel like just yesterday I was rocking my Cougar jersey with the number 24 on the back of it, okay?
Yeah, I was number 33 my senior year. Always been one of my lucky numbers, but hey, yeah, nothing like high school basketball. Grew up on the uptown of New Orleans. Been listening to some Lil Wayne. That's his neck of the woods. Now, totally different neighborhoods. I'm not laying claim to Holly Grove necessarily, but uptown New Orleans, and then played on the lakefront, played against some of the greats to come out of New Orleans, actually. Craig Victor, who was a five-star recruit, I believe now at LSU, but recruited by UConn,
right,
to Arizona. Javon Felix, the starting point guard for Texas right now. We faced all those guys, Shaquille Presley. It was quite the matchup because we were a smarty, nerdy school. So we were just getting dunked over by those guys. Literally,
right,
if you remember John Lucas getting leaped over, getting hurtled by LeBron James.
I don't remember
that. Happened to us.
Oh, wow.
It was embarrassing. It was shocking. It was horrifying. But I can't love high school basketball any more than I do. I'm so happy I had the experience to play. And, you know, I miss it some days.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I'm pretty sure you'll be out at some games this year to cover it. It's always a great time of the year.
Wait.
Yeah, and then right now on the line, we have Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, to give us a bit of a preview of the Mid-Michigan high school boys basketball scene. Brian, welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, Al, thanks for having me. How you doing?
Oh, it's always a pleasure having you on our airwaves. You are certainly a dear friend of the show. And I got to ask Brian, did you play high school basketball?
Yeah, I did play a little bit of basketball. I played for a couple of years, and then I gave it up to focus on running track. So I ran track in the winter my last 2 years of high school. But, yeah, I was a guard my first 2 years in high school and played a little basketball as well, too. So, yeah, I guess kind of listen to your guys' conversation, and I kind of definitely get those flashbacks as well, too, when, you know, every time you go to the gym and you just kind of remember your days when you were, you know, playing high school and hooping it up. So it definitely brings back good memories for sure.
Yeah, it certainly does. Now, if I could go back in time, oh my goodness, I wish I could, man, because there would be some things I would change about my game. But all right, Brian, let's dive into the Mid-Michigan high school boys basketball sporting scene, though. And I want to first off make this real generic, seeing as though we're short on time here, but can you give us some teams to watch for this year? I mean, who do you think are going to be some of the exciting teams from the area?
I definitely think Holt is going to be a very exciting team. I mean, this is a team that, you know, won the CAAC Blue 2 of the last 3 years, and they have a lot of pieces back from last year. Jaron Falls, I mean, he's a Division I recruit. Quentin Armstrong is a good talent on that team. And Trent Stone, also a very good football player, is a very good basketball player as well, too. So Holt stands out to me. East Lansing, I think, is going to be good again. Everett and Grand Ledge, they're going to be interesting teams as well, too. Hazlitt, I think, is going to be very interesting. And when you look at a small school, Lansing Christian, I think they're going to be a dangerous small school team. So, I mean, that's just a couple of teams to watch. I think Charlotte, it will have a very good season as well, too. And they're a team that's going to be worth watching as well as Waverly.
Now, I got to ask, Brian, I mean, when evaluating the respective conferences from here in Michigan, what do you think is going to be what conference do you think is going to be the most competitive?
I definitely look at the CAAC Blue, and I like the Red, too. I think the Red's going to be very competitive as well, too. And I just think those conferences kind of stand out just with the quality of teams that are in those conferences. I mean, with the Blue especially, I mean, they have a lot of good players that were played key roles in their teams last year returning. When you look at Everett and with Jamiron Jackson, and you look at Grand Ledge with Malik Adams, and then, you know, Holt with the people I mentioned before as well, too, and then East Lansing with Brandon Johns. I mean, that Blue is loaded with a lot of top talent in that conference.
Now, you know, when, again, you mentioned a few names right off the bat. I mean, Jamiron Jackson and Brandon Johns, who's, I believe, he's only a sophomore, right? Because he was a freshman last year, right?
Yeah, he's a sophomore, and he's rated as one of the top 20 players in the nation and in the 2018 class by a lot of different recruiting services as well, too. So, yeah.
Wow. And, you know, I was chatting with Eric Doc Love, and we're actually doing the broadcast tonight of the DeWitt and East Lansing game, and Doc was telling me that he went to a practice to talk with Coach Finnemore, and Coach Finnemore let him sit in on a respective practice. And they were scrimmaging, I think, and just kind of going through the motions. And all of a sudden, Brandon Johns just goes up and slams down like a one-handed tomahawk putback dunk. I mean, what do you think makes this kid so special at such a young age?
He's just got all the skills. I mean, a 6'8", you know, forward guy, you know, can handle the ball a little bit. He can shoot the ball. You know, he can rise. I mean, he's got a variety of all the skills. I mean, he's one of the most well-rounded basketball players that we have in this area with just all the different things that he's able to do on the court. So, and I'm also going to that game, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing both of these teams. I mean, you know, Tanner Rehaus from DeWitt is also a very talented sophomore and one of the top sophomores in the state as well, too. So, I mean, it's just going to be interesting to watch that matchup between those two teams.
Well, I certainly see you there, Brian. And looking at other players from around the area, what are some other names that you think are going to be big contributors to their respective teams?
Well, Tony Poljan, I mean, obviously a lot of people know him for obviously his success as a football quarterback, but he's also a very, very good basketball player. And he's a key piece back for Lansing Catholic. And Riley Lewis from Williamson averaged just under 23 points a game last year and helped them share the league title with Lansing Catholic. I mean, he's very good. Tanner Reha, like I mentioned, from DeWitt, a very good player. Matt Havey from Lansing Christian, Forrest Boyer, those are very good players as well, too. So, and then there's the other guys I mentioned, the Brandon Johns. There's Brandon Allen from Hazlitt. He has a chance to be Hazlitt's all-time leading scorer this season and already has over 1,000 career points. And there's just a number of very, very, very good basketball players in this area that are definitely worth watching.
Do you think that there are going to be any surprise teams that are going to come out of nowhere and really, you know, when you look at that, whoever that surprise team is and say, wow, I didn't see that one coming. Any surprise teams that we can note?
Yeah, I always think with, you know, when you have Carlton Valentine on the sideline, you know, with at Sexton, I mean, I think that team, you know, they have some pieces there, and you know, they could be a team that kind of emerges there and surprises some people in the blue. So, and you know, Carlton Valentine, obviously a state champion coach as well too. So, I mean, I think that's a team that's going to be Washington might have the potential to sneak up on some teams and pull off some prizes throughout the season. And then, I think Portland is their team that's a lot deeper than they've been in years past, and they're a team that maybe could surprise some people as well too.
All right, well, there you have it again. Lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, Brian Calloway. You can read his work on lsj.com, and make sure you follow the man on Twitter at Brian_Calloway. Brian, thanks so much for your time, my man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. See you tonight.
All right, I'll see you tonight, my man. This should be a good game, too. East Lansing and DeWitt. I will be broadcasting that game with Doc. And I don't know, have you seen, did you go out to any games last year, Isaac?
No, I didn't have the chance to.
Brandon Johns, if you have not seen this kid ball, I believe it was him. I forget what game it was. I got to go back on our WKR YouTube page. But Brandon had a fast break dunk in which he slammed on someone. I forget who it was. I don't want to throw the names, you know, the kid's name out there anyway, because they're in high school. You know what I mean? I don't like doing that. But, you know, I believe it was him. He had a dunk on the fast break last year that was probably the dunk of the year of high school hoops, at least when looking at hoops in this area. And I caught it on camera, and it happened to be our most viewed YouTube video in the history of WKAR.
Well, the Bleacher Report share of the video probably didn't hurt too much.
You know what video I'm talking about then, right?
I remember
that,
you showing
it. Was that Brandon Johns? I think it was Brandon Johns.
Oh, it was one of those moments which was hold the team back, like my natural bench warmer instinct. Just like get up out of your seat, jump around a little bit when you see something like that. Because, oh my goodness, that dude flew to the rim. We'll just say it was on Brandon Knight, too, since that's a fairly safe assumption. He must have came down from the NBA and just played a little high school basketball for throwback sake.
Oh, it was unbelievable, man. Yeah, it was actually the Lansing Everett and East Lansing game I'm seeing here now. It has 25,757 views and 21 likes, and it has one dislike. I'm guessing that person may have been from Lansing Everett. So, but yeah, unbelievable team though. And again, we're going to definitely get Steve on the show. I'm going to interview him tonight, of course, before and after the game, after that matchup against DeWitt. But it's certainly an exciting time to say the least. And last but not least, I want to bring up this story because I think this is sort of a game changer because it's never happened before at all. And that concerns LeBron James, who is, right now you can make a case with Steph Curry as being the best basketball player in the world right now. Steph is certainly in his zone, but LeBron, you can easily make a case for him. He has been the consensus best player in the world for the last, 5 years. But Nike has signed the Cleveland Cavaliers forward to a lifetime deal in what one source familiar with the negotiation said is the largest single athlete guarantee in company history. Now, a company spokesperson would not say how much Nike paid. It is believed to be the first lifetime deal in the shoe and apparel company. Now, Isaac, when I first heard this news, the name that immediately came to my mind was Michael Jordan. And the reason why Jordan's name popped up in my brain is because, ideally, even though Mike may not be signed to a lifetime deal, that's essentially what's happened and what's going to occur throughout Jordan's career. When looking at the deal that he signed with Nike that happened to be a game changer when it comes to athletics and though and just in general, not even just basketball. I mean, shoe contracts and apparel contracts are a norm for a big athlete who is coming right out of college and trying to become a superstar in the league. In LeBron's case, coming out of high school into the league. And Jordan was such a big personality. He was the most popular athlete in the world at one point, and his shoes still sell to this day. Nike, I think, looked at that Jordan situation and said, you know what? We may have another one here with LeBron James. Long after LeBron's career is said and done, we want to still produce LeBron apparel and LeBron athletic, you know, apparel out there and shoes. So why not sign him to a lifetime deal? We should have done this with MJ. Why not do it with LeBron? Let's get it done. And I think that's more so why they decided to go this route with LeBron James.
Well, I have no idea how to even ballpark estimate how much this deal is worth. What I do know is that James Harden's 13-year deal was worth about $300 million. Derrick Rose, $10 million, or 10-year, probably about $250 million, $200 million. So this is a huge deal for LeBron, for Nike. And it looks to me like Nike's trying to bring back the LeBrons. You and I were talking about those great commercials, but they'll have LeBron sign from the fact when he's junior LeBron and, you know, just shooting hoops, playing in the kitchen, to when he's old man LeBron, complaining about, man, that's a foul, you know, that good stuff. So I actually like this signing. I'm happy to see LeBron stay with Nike because I've always also liked the LeBron shoes. I don't know about you,
I used to hate them with a passion because I used to be a LeBron hater back in the day. But then when I put away that bias and realized how crazy good he is and I start to really look at his shoes, I said, man, those are pretty sexy. I think his shoes are really sexy.
Yeah,
I love LeBron
shoes.
Bad. Not bad at all. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, and Austin Goodman, our PA behind the glass, he brought up the Tiger Woods deal. And I think that's a good point to bring up because it reiterates the fact that as long as LeBron stays out of trouble, this will be a lifetime deal, okay? And that's the big thing when you talk about sponsorships, man. You got to stay out of trouble because the minute you mess up, oh, they will drop you like a bad habit, point blank period. Look at Kobe Bryant when he went through that situation out in Colorado. He lost Sprite. He lost Nike for a little bit. They re-signed him, though, but he lost a lot of endorsements during that time period when Tiger Woods got into his riff. Everybody dropped him really, really quick. Heck, he doesn't even have a video game anymore. I used to love that video game. So, got to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, these Ivy League lawyers, they put in clauses for everything. If you get caught with a DUI, however much money off. If you get caught maybe Tiger Woodsing or Lance Armstronging, then you're in some serious doo-doo. So, yeah, you've got to watch out for that. But, hey, LeBron's never had any problems in the past. I don't expect him to as he ages.
Yeah, he certainly carried himself the right way, to say the least. All right, folks, well, that wraps up this edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Stevan for calling in, my man Big Ray, also Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, and those who listen but decided not to call in, we love you as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. Take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. And be easy, people.